What is defenestration again?
That's when
the action of throwing someone out a window. Boom. See, look at that. You didn't even know that was a word, did you?
Did it just make words for everything now? Is fenestration then throwing somebody into a window? In a window?
Oh, it's close. The arrangement of windows in a building.
Eh.
Huh.
I don't like it when the opposite doesn't mean the opposite.
Chus, good evening.
Hey.
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 So, we are going to go a little old school today and just rattle through a few random topics, and I'm sure we'll end up with some interesting nuggets in here somewhere.
I hope so.
And we're going to start off with some, of course, some design tools, some design methodology pieces, which is personas.
Yeah.
How could personas possibly go wrong, Chus? They're usually perfect.
Yeah, yeah. You have to use them carefully.
In the Netherlands, there's a situation where personas have gone a little bit wrong, and it's actually an interesting conversation about where perhaps statistics, political correctness, and personas may collide. Since we don't know the background of this, we can only speculate, but it's simply caused a bit of an issue. And do you want to explain what has happened?
Yeah. So documents about an e-learning module for people working at supermarkets have leaked out.
A specific supermarket. We don't have to name it, but yeah. A specific Dutch supermarket.
Exactly. And it was part of the basic training of cashiers and people who work to fill the shelves.
Now, you would think this is good because you want the people who work at the stores to understand who their customers are, hence why designers love personas.
Exactly. So in this case, they made, I believe, 8 different customer types. And they made sheets to explain each and what the needs and wants of these people are. The intention is that whoever works at the shop will understand the customers and help them in a way that is specific to them and will make it feel personal.
Now, in these personas, there are some single men and women. There are some families. And most of these personas are a little bit more, let's say, well-to-do, middle class. But there's something in common about all of those personas.
Yeah.
They are all white. And then you look at the one persona they have for, I think it is the city shopper or is it the, city budget.
Exactly.
So people who live in the inner city area who are on a stricter budget. And you can say that for people who are going to maybe leverage a loyalty program a little bit more or coupons a little bit more. But there's something different about the illustration of this person.
Exactly.
This is the one non-white person in the persona group, which is a very distinctly, I'll say a black person, yeah. Although I don't know if the intention was obviously a sort of Moroccan descent or Egyptian, but it is clearly the person of very different color from all the other personas.
Exactly. It sticks out a lot.
So this came up as a problem, obviously, because there was this situation that racial profiling was happening through this, or simply that there was a lack of sensitivity towards literally skin color, income, and you were training people on this material where the one non-white person was the person of lesser income, which obviously is going to lead to some problems.
Yeah.
Now, we don't know statistically if this is correct. The interesting conversation is, if it is statistically correct, where does statistics and personas clash with political correctness?
Exactly, but what I think is that the devil is in the details in this case. So if you look at the sheets that they made for each persona, they used an illustration style. And in illustration, you start with nothing. So you have to choose what you're going to render into your illustration. What details are you going to emphasize and what details are you going to leave to the background? With illustrations of people, there are a couple of things that are really easy to do, which is hairstyles and skin colors come across really sharp and really define your character. Whereas what they're wearing is probably blue unshaped pants and some kind of top or jacket or whatever. So in a way, the illustration style here that was chosen emphasizes the difference between these personas, and they're directly connected to income and where they live and how they shop. So they coupled exactly the way a person looks in a sketchy way, but therefore focusing on certain things, and what that person does and what their income is. And this coupling of a one-to-one relationship is where it just went wrong.
Here's what's interesting about this. Designers are obviously big fans of personas because, as we talked about, it is important to understand who your customer is, and giving an illustration or some sort of visual does often help that. However, if we look now at how inclusive design has come up, whether that person is maybe in a wheelchair, maybe blind, as we did just have someone come by the studio who was blind to help share several of his design and UI projects, which was incredibly interesting, to whatever skin color, that designers need to take more of a, inclusive approach, or I'll say thoughtful approach to how they tackle these issues.
Yeah.
And the way that I think we can reference this, we had a client last year, and we continue to have them this year, so I won't name who they are. We did personas for them.
Yeah.
And this was actually a good conversation with them. When we went out and did research, we found a variety of people engaging with their products and services. This was anywhere from your standard white male, like you and I, to somebody of Moroccan descent, Turkish descent, African descent, Indian descent, men, women, children, adults. It was all over the map.
But I think the big difference is that when you make a persona and you make one that you can really work with in a design project, you try to make it specific, right? You try to give that person a name, a background, a story, some things that makes you understand it. But therefore, because you're making it specific, you're not generalizing a whole group into one thing.
True, true. But hold on. I want to come back to the reason I brought up the client that we were working with.
Yeah.
When we came back and we presented them, these were somewhat personas, right? I agree with what you're saying. They were, maybe you could say archetypes. They're more generalized. This actually opened up a lot of discussion around who was using their products and services.
Yeah.
The company itself wasn't incredibly diverse, but their customers were. So initially in their thinking, their customers were like them. Mm-hmm. And by us reflecting this back, this opened up a lot of discussions on how they need to present their products and services because of the diverse nature of their consumers and customers. And that's a way that just thinking through that and being more thoughtful from a designer actually engaged in a much better conversation that led to better outcomes for the consumers.
Yeah, exactly. I think what we created there is an eye-opener for the people who are going to be using those things, and it'll make it more of a topic that's going to be discussed. And it is actually a non-topic, and the deliverables will help in that, in making it the new normal.
The way I think to close at least this section, be thoughtful around what you're doing. Look at what the data is, what you've learned through research. Be a little bit sensitive to these situations and have these discussions. It seems clear that people were obviously trying to do the right thing. So I in no way want to fault the designers of these personas. I in no way want to fault the supermarket, but it feels that there were cues that were missed along the way, that if more discussions had taken place, perhaps this wouldn't have been the outcome.
Yeah, I would say if you're doing personas, be specific, and you will see if you're being too specific on certain things. And if you're doing archetypes and trying to describe a whole group, try to describe the whole group. Exactly. And don't mix and match these, because that's when you get this happening.
Now we get to go a bit old school.
Yeah.
So with our old podcasts, if you go back and listen, and you should not go back and listen
to
some of the really old ones, we would pick up news stories oftentimes and ramble on them. I think there are one or two news stories that I would love to ramble on. This is my...
Ramble worthy.
Yes. Yes. This is my personal ask. And the first one, Chris.
Yeah.
Is the HomePod by Apple. So for those of you who are not familiar, you can obviously go online and look up the HomePod. This is Apple's response, or the way they somewhat initially framed it, their response to Google Home, to the Amazon Echo line, when they came on stage and they made sort of light of other smart assistants, and they talked about the superior sound quality and integration with Siri. It's 2 months delayed. I'm fine with that. I don't mind that it's delayed. My specific problem with this is it's a very, very beautiful speaker. It apparently has amazing sound quality. It's just simply really expensive, and it's not an intelligent assistant, right? Siri is not nearly at the level that these other products are. I know you don't want to rant about Siri. I'm going to do it for a moment, so deal with me. But it bothers me, because it feels like Apple put out a beautiful speaker, but Sonos is also a beautiful speaker and cheaper. And as far as intelligent assistants go, I already have two in my house, and I can tell you one of them I don't use, which is the Google Home, because I just don't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
I have everything hooked up to my Amazon Echo, which I use for specific tasks. And this goes to the design part. I'm getting to it. With the Amazon Echo, I have a specific role with that. I can order products. Well, if I were in the US, I could order products. Here I can't. I order products with it, and I can play my Spotify music.
Yeah.
With the Google Home, I also have it connected to Spotify, but I can't order anything. I haven't really figured out what I do with it beyond the same things that I do with my Amazon Echo without the other functionality of ordering. And with Apple's HomePod, it's a better speaker than either of these, clearly, but I don't have the assistant. And if I really wanted a great speaker, wouldn't I already own a Sonos? So I'm trying to figure out where this is going from a design perspective, from an experience perspective.
But I think your comparison of the HomePod to a Sonos is great. They positioned it against the Google Home and the Amazon.
Originally they did. Originally. Yeah. But if I look at their website now and the email newsletter I just got, the first line on these things is all about sound.
Yeah.
So it's all about the quality of the speaker. And Siri is still there, but Siri is definitely downplayed. It is all about the speaker, and then it has intelligence in it, but I don't really know what I can do with that intelligence, except for play Apple Music, but not Spotify.
Yeah, exactly. So the word intelligence, I can compare to smart or hyper or giga or mega. It has something in it. But actually, what you mean is that it's a music speaker that you can talk to if you subscribe to Apple products. So you're severely limiting what this thing can do. And you were comparing Amazon Echo before to Google Home and then to Apple. And the reason we're comparing them is because they're somewhat similarly shaped.
Well, they're speakers with what should be an intelligent assistant inside.
Exactly. But what they actually are three different voice operating systems in kind of the same physical form and the same way of operating them. But all of them have very, very different features, and you can almost not compare them if they weren't just speakers that you could talk to. I don't see them as the same because Amazon is the Echo is a speaker that's connected to Amazon, so it does Amazon things. Google does Google things. Amazon is bad at looking things up. Google is really good at looking things up, but bad at ordering things. And Apple is really good at playing music. But for the rest, they're just the same interfaces to different things.
Yeah, that's actually quite a good point. You're right that we are comparing them when they have different distribution strategies in a way. Google is the factual assistant. Amazon, I know Amazon can look up things, but it is the ordering assistant. And we see that with the show and the look, right? This is supporting what Amazon does. And we're going to come to Amazon again in a moment. Mm-hmm. But that's actually a good point. If these were shaped in a different way, or I won't even say that. Let me back up. Maybe the problem is our foundation for operating systems has been the same and it no longer should be. So for example, Windows and Mac, there were two operating systems. You installed applications, you had a folder structure, all of these were the same. You could use a browser. When you get to phones, you have Android and Apple, and they have different strategies, different integration points, but essentially you are looking at applications on a phone.
Yeah.
And now you come to these, and you're right, there are different distribution strategies that make up what the intelligent assistant strategy is.
I think the PC moment for voice assistants hasn't been there, right? So the PC used to be this thing that could do different things, but there was a moment at which all of them had a graphics card, all of them had an audio card, all of them got on the internet later on, and you could start install programs on it. So what the PC does for you is what you put on it, right? But there's almost no limit to it. You can do anything with any PC, and maybe one's faster, one's slower, but if you're a video editor, you can do that. If you want to just surf the web, you can do that. Then later on, smartphones got the PC moment with the App Store. You could put anything on any smartphone. There's almost no limits. Some are a little bit better with the camera and do 3D stuff, others aren't, but all of them can do the same things in its basics. These speakers aren't there yet.
Not yet.
You have app stores, but yes. I cannot change the search on an Amazon Echo because it doesn't have search. I cannot change the ordering system or my favorite store on the Google because it doesn't have a store system. There's no OS level basics that you can replace and choose on these things because they all push their own strategy through this device. So it's an interface to a company more than it's an operating system to anything.
That's a beautiful summary, an interface to a company.
Yeah.
And that gets to what we were talking about when we were biking over here. I said something along the lines of, oh, we're moving to voice operating systems. And you said, no, we're not.
Yeah.
We are, you know, essentially doing what you just said. We're moving to voice activated controls, but you still have your center someplace else, right? Your center used to be your computer. Now your center for a lot of people is their phone. And I was assuming that the center shifted over to whatever this new device was going to be.
Yeah, but the center is a bunch of accounts somewhere.
Well, we've talked about the center before. The center is the cloud now.
Yeah.
Right? Because everything lives there and I should be able to pull it everywhere on thin clients, for example. But that hasn't actively happened, number one. Number two, that definitely hasn't happened with these devices because, as you said, they are pushed by a company where the hub is in a different location and they are not operating systems in that way.
Yeah, and each of these companies has a product that they want to push at us, whereas my PC or my Mac is not trying to push a product at me.
Well, it's a platform for me to build on.
Yeah, it's a platform. Yes. There you go. None of these voice assistants are a platform.
Oh, I would argue that Amazon is. I mean, Amazon, they license out and you can build skills. There we go. On it. But yes, I agree that there is still a shortcoming in comparisons of that nature.
Yeah, I can't build my own things with it unless I'm a coder. So it's not really a platform in that way.
I think to wrap this up so we don't go too long, since we've been trying to keep them to about 15 or 20 minutes, Amazon Go opened their first store. We've been talking a lot about Amazon.
Oh.
Here's what I'm going to say about it. I want to wrap this up. What Amazon has done for customer experience over and over is remove friction to make purchasing easier. People are getting hung up on some of this. Well, they've removed the cashier, right? They're automating, they're taking away jobs. And to me, I just see this as the sort of Bezos master plan of removing any friction towards purchase. It is almost the ultimate capitalistic machine. Okay. Purchase, you know, what is it? Work, buy, consume, die.
Uh-huh.
Right? That's all. That is taking that to a point where it has become so frictionless that buying and consuming no longer requires thought. It just happens.
So I have something else about this that I just want to talk about, and maybe we'll run a bit over. You know, when you surf online, the internet is riddled with sensors. We call them cookies, tracking plugins, accounts, whatever. The internet is riddled with it. And we have, over time, become okay with being watched in different places and that being recorded in other different places. And it builds profiles of us. And Amazon is really good at this. Facebook is good at this. Google. And all of them have these little sensors everywhere. These sensors...
Sensors online.
Yeah, as in they're virtual sensors. They're tracking methods, but little fingers that look and touch and feel. And these sensors have, over time, entered the physical world a little bit because you started to take that online portal with you in your pocket. And lately we've had the scares of, all these voice interfaces, I'm taking them with me and now they can hear everything. And maybe that's happening, maybe that isn't, but the sensors have gone into the real world a little bit and you're now giving people your location and how long you spend somewhere. Amazon has now put these sensors in the real world for the first time that still touch this original digital profile that they have of you virtually. They know what you buy. They know what you look at in the shop. They know what you don't look at. They know what you pick up and put back. They can record all of these behavioral things. What hasn't entered the real world yet, and it's from our favorite movie.
Blade Runner.
No.
Oh, no, Minority Report is what you're thinking
about. Yeah, where you have these specialized ads. When is the next step going to happen where actually the shop, the lighting, the way the products move, what products you see are going to actually shift based on, hey, Joe's in the shop. Let's make this shelf brighter because we think that he right now can be convinced of buying more expensive products than he normally buys. When are the actuators, the things that move on the internet, the advertisements moving out into Amazon Go?
I don't know when they'll move to Amazon Go. I forget what shop this was in the US. I think it was Forever 21.
Yeah.
You look at stuff online on your phone, and when you walk by the store, they use beacon technology to say, you looked at this dress five times.
Yeah.
It's on sale for 50% off.
Exactly.
So, boom.
So we're trying, or we're starting now, and Amazon Go is just one of the bigger steps in this direction to merge our online tracked identities into our offline or real world tracked identities and seeing real world effects of this.
This is, of course, one of the trends that is on our non-published trends report that will hopefully be published soon.
It will.
That the analytics is moving offline into the physical world. So, I think you have made some amazing points today around our intelligent assistants, around Amazon, and as well around the personas. So it's been a beautiful conversation. Is there anything left before we wrap up today?
I'm going to have burritos.
I'm going to go hit the gym. Yeah. So, Chus, I'll talk to you later, man.
Bye.
Bye.